Welcome to the Father's Vineyard Audio Podcast. Here is today's message.
Good morning. Good to see you guys. I want to thank you so much for praying for mine and Brenda's health, and also our family, our moms. They're doing better. They're doing great. And we're getting over colds. Brenda and I are getting over colds. So thank you for praying for us. And somebody asked me if I was going to sing bass this morning. So, well, still can't sing no matter how bottom I can go, right? I wonder if we could just take just a few moments to do something just a little bit different. I know Pastor Charlie and the praise team are ready, but there's just some things that I really do think we need to pray about. Aside from all your politics, all our politics, no matter what they are, we have biblical standards that we need to go by. We need to go by God's word. Regardless of your politics, we should always go by God's word. I want to spend a little bit of time this morning. Our nation needs a lot of prayer. All the states making decisions concerning abortion, and this thing that is happening now, that there's no regard to life even after the child has been born. There's consequences for that. You know, God said he will not be mocked, that whatever we sow, we're going to reap. And, you know, a lot of people say, well, you know, we'll have the judgment of God. Well, God's already judged sin. He's judged sin on the cross. Jesus was that payment for sin. But the Bible does say there's consequences for your actions. You're going to reap what you sow. God has wanted us to follow him and follow his word very willingly. Yes. And with a desire to see him glorified in all that we do. And he told us in Deuteronomy, he says this, Deuteronomy 30:19, he said, I call heaven and earth to witness against you today. Heaven and earth. He's calling for heaven and earth to be the witness and see where we are today. He said, I call them to witness against you today. And he said, here's the witness. I have set before you life and death, blessing and a curse. And the curse. Then he goes on, he says, here's my advice. Here's my will for you. So choose life. Everybody say, choose life. Ask God, no matter what your political beliefs are, that is God, whether you agree with it politically or not. That's God. He said, choose life. In order that you may live. It proves that you love God when you choose life. So choose life by loving your God, Lord your God, by obeying his voice. His voice says, choose life, not death. Choose life by holding fast to him, for this is your life and the length of your days, that you may live in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give them. I want us to stand together, and I want us to begin to pray for our nation to choose life, regardless of your political view. Choose life. It's okay to have political views. I'm fine with it, but they should never be different or opposite of what God is saying. Amen. So let's pray together. I want you to grab somebody's hand. And I don't want you to wait on anybody else to pray. I want you to go ahead and cry out to God just for a few moments on asking God to bring the spirit of repentance to this nation. Amen. So just go ahead and begin to do that. Just begin to pray. Lord God, we thank you. Thank you that you've given us the instructions that we need. We stand, Lord God, in a very, very delicate moment in the balances. And we're asking you, Father, to send the spirit of repentance to the heart throb of this nation. We ask you, Father, that life would begin to be the choice that we make. That we would honor your voice. We would obey your voice. And that we would follow you. Lord, we come against the death sentence that the enemy wants to put upon the children, the unborn children. I pray, God, in the name of Jesus, that movement would be silenced. That movement, that anti-life spirit would begin to end now in this nation. Lord, that we would celebrate life because you've given us life. You've given us the very freedom to breathe in and to take in who you are. God, I pray that you'd move upon every state governor in the name of Jesus, that you would speak to their hearts, and that you would so choose, that they would so choose to hear your voice and to follow you this day. God, I ask you that this thing of being right at the moment, the crowning of the birth, Lord, these laws would be abolished. And Lord, that these things would be reversed, and that these things would begin to end even being brought before the people for vote. So Father, in Jesus' name, I just ask you, Lord, have mercy. Have mercy on this nation. Have mercy on this country. And God, I pray that you would speak to those that are making the laws. I pray, God, that they would hear the voices of those that are sent by you to influence them to follow you and to follow your word. We love you, Lord. We want this nation to follow you. But God, we want your people to rise up. Be the voice that we're supposed to be in this country. Be the cry that needs to be heard. We choose life. We choose life, Lord. Because you have said, choose life. You and your descendants, that we may live. We celebrate you today. Yes. And today we celebrate life. Yes. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Amen, amen. And get ready for the word of God from your associate pastor, John Mitchell. Come on up, brother.
Okay. Did good, right?
Yeah.
Got it. All right. Well, good morning. Are you having a great time? Amen. It's just kind of an honor to be here this morning and just thank God for what he's doing. You know, even in the midst of, you know, what the world is doing and everything, how many know God is still good? Amen. And we have to understand something, you know, whether you realize it or not, how many know we've been called to just rest in God? You know, but it's hard to rest in a corrupt world, isn't it? But do you not know you can? I'm getting that look like, hey. and that's what I want to talk to you about. How can we rest in a corrupt world? How do you do that? You know, first of all, Jesus gave an invitation. He said, come unto me, all ye that are what? Heavy laden and laden. And I will give you. Now, you kind of got ahead of me. Because there are two rests that he spoke of. He first said, come unto me and I'll give you rest. And then he said, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. So if we want to rest, we got to learn from. So how do I learn from Jesus? Studying the Word of God. Do you not know Jesus came into this earth just like you and I, born through a woman? Remember, the Holy Spirit spoke to Mary, and he told her that she was going to be with child, and she went on for, just summarized. She said, now how can these things be? But then later on, she went on to say, but be it unto me according to your word. So the seed was the word that was impregnated Mary by God, that she went through the 9-month cycle and then brought forth Jesus. But I mean, Jesus didn't just operate as God in the earth. He operated as a son. And the Bible said he didn't take on the form of angels, but he took on the form of humanity. The Bible says, for we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but in all points was tempted like we are, yet without sin. He took on him flesh and blood just like we are. Do you realize the Word of God said that Jesus grew in stature and in wisdom and favor with God and man? So when Jesus said, learn of me, other words, follow what I did. Learn what I did, and you can rest. Do you not know that there are many times that Jesus was disturbed? But he didn't lose his rest. I was looking at something the other day in the Word of God, and even when Lazarus was dead, Jesus told them boys, he said, well, he's taking a nap. He's asleep, So they thought, well, hey, if he's asleep, he'll be fine. But I mean, they know that Martha and Mary said, no, he's dead. But Jesus didn't get in a hurry. He didn't get excited and, oh, God, we got to go. We got to get over there. No. Why? Because he was resting. And one way that we begin to rest in God is we must know our identity. When Jesus came out of the wilderness being baptized, the first thing the Father did was he did what? He affirmed him of who he was. He said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Now watch this. It's funny that God just spoke that over his Son, and immediately the devil tells him, if you are. But if the devil say that to us, we come unglued too easy. But we got to understand that we can rest. How can I rest in a corrupt world? How many know that the world is corrupt, but how many know that we're in this world to make a difference? We are lights. We are salt. Amen? And how many know that God put us here to do what? To affect this world system. To shake it up. That's what the apostles did. They turned Jerusalem upside down. Why? Because they knew who they were in God. And they wasn't afraid to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. So number one, we must know, and all of the rest in this corrupt world, you need to know your identity in Christ. Who are you in Christ? What have Christ called you to do? This is why it's so important that we become rooted and grounded in our salvation. But how many know we got to move on and begin to become rooted and grounded in kingdom living? Because if we don't, we'll repeat trying to be saved every Sunday. And how many know salvation is a progressive thing? And the word salvation there means deliverance, wholeness. You know, sozo, wholeness, healing. And the Bible said that he has translated us out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son. In other words, Satan don't have lordship over me anymore. Yes, amen. I'm in a new kingdom. And that's why Jesus said in Matthew 6 and verse 33, he said, do what? Seek ye first. Now, in Hebrew, it means first. In Greek, it means first. Okay? You're saying, well, what do you mean? It just means first, number one. Look at your neighbor and say, if we're going to rest, we must do the first thing. Seek his kingdom and his righteousness. Now, what is his kingdom? His kingdom is the extension rule of God in the earth. It is a government that's ruled by God. And when we begin to seek the kingdom of God, we come under the government of the kingdom. But we must learn the principles of the kingdom so that we can operate in the kingdom. The reason we don't rest is because many a times we're trying to operate in an old system and trying to operate in old wineskins and trying to operate in putting a piece of cloth on it, and guess what? We don't get no what? Results. But if we will seek, come under the government of God, the kingdom of God, is God's way of doing things. It's God's way of being right. It's God's way. And what we have done is try to do it our way and stamp God on it. There is a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof is death. See, there's a thing in us that we think we can figure it out and make it work right and think we can say, hey, this is the way it should go. But you know what it is? It's because we hadn't submitted to the righteousness of God. We hadn't submitted to the right that God has on us. This is why we're still stumbling over things, because we're still trying to hold on to the lordship. And I mean to know it's his lordship. But if we're going to be at rest, and the reason why that I want you to understand this, because many a times we look at the world and we are beginning to unravel. Born again Christians. Talking about, well, you know, I'm just going to shut away. I'm not going to have nothing to do with the world. But he planted you here and he throwed you out in the world so that you would be a difference, a light to the world, that you can make a difference, that you can be productive. You don't have to hide under a rock. You don't have to hide in your house, because there is something greater on the inside of you than what's in this old world. But what we have to realize, when Paul said, I beseech ye therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy unto God, which is your reasonable worship. Amen. And he went on to say, and don't be conformed to this world. What is he saying? Don't let the world squeeze you into its mold. How many feel the squeezing? You feel the squeezing. And the world is saying that's not politically correct. But how many know the kingdom ain't never going to be politically correct to the world? because they don't understand when your enemies do you wrong and you love them in spite of it. They ain't gonna understand when you say, nah, don't mess with them, leave them alone. Yes, they did me wrong, but how many know, just leave them alone. We're gonna love them through this. The world don't understand that. They don't understand when you say, you know, I'm just at peace with it. I'm just at peace with what's going on. I was asked a question, you know, a couple of weeks ago when my mom dad passed, when my mom went on to be with the Lord, I was going to say passed, but, you know, when she graduated from this life into eternity, I was bombarded with questions. Well, are you going to be all right now that your mom is gone? Listen, she's 92 years old. She deserved to graduate. My Jesus. I mean, you know, it's how you look at this thing. I mean, come on. I mean, look, I'm a loving, I'm a compassionate guy, but look, I understand she wasn't here to be here forever. Eternity is with him. We have eternal life, but how many know we're graduating out of this earth realm and moving on to the glory realm, amen? To that eternal realm with God. And I knew I could look on the person's face and I can tell that they think, something wrong with this dude. Something is wrong with him. You know how people try to read you. Him and his mama didn't have a good relationship. That's why he don't feel nothing. But when you know, see, come on, death is just as real as salvation. We can talk about death because guess what? We're all going to go that way if Jesus don't come. Oh, you're going to stay here and be here when he come, right? But I know that we've all been allotted a certain amount of days, but what we got to understand is we got to take advantage of the days that have been allotted to us. And my mom was a great mom. I learned a lot from her. She did a lot of great things for the community. Why should I sit around sad? Sure, you can cry. It's okay. But it wasn't me. And I'm asked all these questions. You know, and I'm thinking, I'm just resting in God. And it disturbed people. Because I'm just resting. Now, am I concerned? I'm concerned. But I'm not going to worry. Because he told me, he said, John, don't be anxious about nothing. But with prayer and supplication, making your requests make known to God. And the God of peace, amen. Guess what? The peace that surpasseth all understanding will guard your heart and your mind through Jesus Christ. I'm resting in him. Why? Because I got peace. You say, how can that be? Because peace is in me. Peace is in you by the Holy Spirit. It's in you. But what we got to do is quit letting the world squeeze us into its mold that we have to think like the world. Guess what? I don't think like the world. I'm in the world, but I'm not of the world. Jesus said, the world hates you because you know me. Now, I'm not going out there on a box saying, oh, the world just hates John. No, I'm not doing that. But in my conscious thinking, I know that I know that I know that the world does not have my best interest in mind. What they want me to do is become conformed to them. But guess what? I'm not. Because Paul said, don't be conformed. Don't let the world squeeze you into its mold. In other words, what Paul is saying, look here, your bodies is a temple of God. Glorify God, worship God. I know this is a bad word, but work in the world. Work and do. Be productive. Yeah. Yeah. You know, it's sad. We get saved and we lose our thinking about work. (Laughs) Well, you know that was in the Garden of Eden. You know, that curse has been lifted. No, the curse was lifted, but guess what? You still got to work. Now, Paul was bold. He said, now, if you don't work, you don't eat. Oh, Lord. But did you not know God gave Adam a job? When he created this world, he had to hold up because there was not a man to take care of the garden. And then when he made Adam, he said, now I'm gonna place him in the garden. He said, now Adam, I want you to take care of this garden. I want you to cultivate it and care for it, take care of it, keep stuff out that don't need to be in. And it's called work. And another word is worship. So when God gave that to Adam, guess what? Adam was supposed to be the stewardship of the garden. And God turned it right around and made, got you and I born again. And now he's saying, now y'all are stewards of the earth. Be faithful where I've called you and maintain where I've called you and be a good steward, amen, so that you can begin to do what? Rest where I put you, where I plant you, where I position you. Rest in it. You know what? Because that's what Adam was doing. He was fine. Now, I know all y'all thinking, well, you know, we always say, you know, when you go to that Jenny story, oh, that woman. But let me tell you something. Adam could have stopped the whole thing. One word, get out. That's all he would have had to say. This is my garden, and you don't belong. The words that you are speaking does not belong here in this garden, so you got to go. Let me tell you a secret. Your soul is like a garden, and you need to keep stuff out of it so you can rest. Did y'all hear that? Why are you whispering, Brother John? Because I want you to hear what I'm saying. See, Jesus said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. See, the enemy wants us to think it's a hard way, but it's not a hard way. It's an easy way through him because we're yoked up with him. And he's already walked this earth. He's already went through this. But when I yoke up with him, guess what? I'm going along with him, but he's leading, guiding me by the Spirit of God. But what we have to understand, we must cooperate. Anytime that I deviate from the Word of God, I'm falling my own way. Do you not know God allows me to choose my own way? That's why it's up to you and I. Look at your neighbor and say, it's up to us to renew our minds so that we can prove or test these thoughts that are coming in, whether they are of God, of me, or the enemy. He said that I could prove what is that good and perfect and acceptable way of the Lord. I can do that when I renew my mind to the Word of God. That's all right. See, But you know what we say? God, you do it. Lord, just pour it on me. Lord, if you'll just go before me. If you'll just do this, Lord. If you'll just do this. No. See, I don't have to pray what the word has already said. We praying and we can confess, but what we need to do is say, well, God, your word said. Your word said. See, I'm trying to help you rest a little bit. See, don't let the world squeeze you, because the only way the world can squeeze you into its mold is that you allow it to happen. That you allow it to happen. You say, you will say, well, you don't know what I've been through, Brother John. You just don't know what I've been through. You don't understand the wounds that I'm bearing. I understand your wounds that you're bearing. But my question to that is this. Do you want to be pitied or do you want to be delivered? Do you want somebody to just give you a pacifier and play with you a little bit, or do you want to be delivered? How bad do you want it? See, there's desperate people that would do desperate things, amen, to get what they need. And how many know it's high time for the church to get desperate for the presence of God, that it don't matter what it takes, I'm going in. See, do you not know that it is not scripture? When people say, well, you know, God said he helped those that helped themselves. That is not scripture. God been helping me when I couldn't help myself. Every time I try to help, I make a mess out of it. But I've learned how to trust. I've learned how to trust. And this is part of us resting in him. He said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Learn of him. How do you learn of something? Study. Thank you. Study. Listen. Come on. Listen. Study. Listen. Well, I thought that was what the preacher was supposed to do. No. No. Paul didn't say, preachers, renew your mind. He said, you need to renew your mind. Now, the preachers ought to do what? To teach you the wisdom and the knowledge of God. But I'm going to know, it don't fall on us once we deliver the mail. The word of God challenged us. He said, study to show thyself approved unto God, that a workman need not be ashamed, but rightly dividing the word of truth. Now, if you can rightly divide it, guess what else can happen? You can wrong divide it. Let me tell you how you wrong divide it. There's a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof is death. You got to understand something. What the enemy want to do is isolate us from the teaching and the preaching, the prophets, the apostles, the teachers, the pastors, the evangelists, all these things that God gave for the perfecting of the saints so that they could do the work of the ministry. Do you not know they're trying to discredit those five functions that God gave for the perfecting of the church? But what we have to realize, church, is this. If we only have the pastor, if we only have the evangelist, guess what? We're in trouble. You know why? Because there's three more. There's another dimension that we're missing. And I mean to know, we need the full counsel of God in order to be grow and be in the stature that God said we could be. So Jesus said, come after me. Follow me. Watch what I do. Now, how can we see what Jesus did? By reading the word, studying the word, listening to what the word is saying. That's how we get to know him. But I want to give you another ingredient to knowing him. is that you get to experience him in the difficulties of life. Take a deep breath. Breathe out. Because watch this. Quit thinking everything is of the devil. Everything is not of the devil. Sometimes the Father allows things to come upon us, not bring it upon us. But because we live in a corrupt world, how many know things are going to happen that are not always nice? And when those times come, what the Father does is he sits back and he says, have you considered Terry Howell? Yeah, but you got a hedge around him. Oh, really? Okay. I moved a hedge. So things begin to happen. But it don't mean that it's always the devil. How many know a refrigerator can go out? That old devil got in my refrigerator. Come on, in the name of Jesus. That's why God prospers you, so that you got the money in the bank, go on down there and get you nothing now and leave the devil out of it. I mean, you know, you done had that thing for 25 years. Come on now. It's time to upgrade. But we say, oh, you know, the devil child got him a car and everything. You know, I'm just listen, things are going to happen. But you got to keep the mind of Christ. You don't need to come unglued because things are not going your way. Like Brother Russell said earlier, you know, God, he made today, but he made yesterday too. But the word of God said, God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. God doesn't change. We change, but God doesn't. But what God is doing in the midst of my turmoil, he's causing me to be conformed into the image of Christ when I will submit to his dealings. Notice what I said, when I submit. Well, but Pastor John, but you know the devil is real. Yes, he is. He is real. But do you not know my elder brother defeated? He stripped him of all his power. See, he don't have the keys of death and hell anymore. Jesus said, I got the keys. And guess what he said? I give unto you the keys. And whatsoever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. But what he's really saying was already bound in heaven, you can bound it in the earth. What's been loosed in heaven, I can loose it in the earth. Why? Because of the authority that's given to the believer. See, but we go around trying to bind. Oh, God, how did I do this? We go around trying to bind the devil. And I want to ask y'all, how many of y'all can bind him? Come on now. You know, I bind the devil in the name of Jesus. I bind you, Satan. You know what he's doing? He said, have at it. But you know what we can bind? The influence that he tries to come against my life. Because the word of God said, John, there's no weapon formed against you that will prosper. Every tongue that rises up against you in judgment, you can condemn. Why? Because this is your heritage of God. Yeah. And you say, but why are you picking on the devil? I'm not picking on him. I'm trying to get you to rest. See, we're trying to fight battles that we hadn't been called to fight. I'm choosing wise the battles that I fight these days. Why are you choosing wisely, Pastor John? Do you not know some battles I don't have to fight? You know why? Because there's nothing to be won. I don't have to fight being saved. You know why? Because I know I'm saved. I ain't got to wake up in the morning and remind the devil, you know I'm saved now. No, I know I'm saved. I ain't got to fight the devil over my finances. You know why? Because he said, John, I'm going to supply all your needs according to my riches and glory. I ain't got to worry about going out of here, amen, being broke and disgusted. You know why? Because my daddy owns it all. I ain't got to worry about my car tearing. If it tear up, hey, it's a car. God, I need a car. You need one, son? You got it. See, we wrestle and we struggle because we haven't ceased from our own work trying to perform things to get God's approval. But God's approval only comes when we believe. That's all we have to do is simply believe what God has said about us and what God has did for us. Do you not know the Israelites could not enter the promised land because of what? Unbelief. You know what they were doing? Shucks, when we were down there in Egypt, we had food to eat. Had them cucumbers, wild onions, whoo, garlic and all, we had food to eat. And here's Father God saying, I'm going to give you something that you don't know what it is. I'm going to give you some manna from heaven. And they ate it and was happy. And guess what? When they run out of that, you know, we should have been, we're going to die out here in the wilderness now. We had graves down in Egypt. We could have funeral home down there, graveyards and everything. We should have just died. Well, you know, now we got all the sun, all this heat. Jesus, God said, okay, give him a cloud. Well, you know, it's cold at night. Give him a pillar of fire. And these same people grumbling and complaining. Oh, Lord. That's why we don't need to be grumbling and complaining. I mean, like, we say this scripture right here. I'm going to show you this right here. It said, I mean, oh, we can do all things through Christ that. See, now that sounds good. That sounds so good and so spiritual. Oh, yes. But let's back up. Let's just back up. Paul said this before he ever said that. He said, you know, I've learned to be content in whatever state I'm in. I've learned how to be hungry and not complain. I've learned how to be full and still not complain. He said, my sufficiency is not in this world or in this realm, but my sufficiency is in him. See, it was God, see, it was the hope of glory in Paul that caused him to be content. You got to understand, when you got Jesus, you got it all. We got it all. But we got to learn how to walk in it and rest in it. You know why? Because he said what? Take my yoke upon you and learn. Can I ask you, would you do something for me? The next time you get in a predicament, raise your hand. Say, we all gonna go there one day. We're gonna have some predicaments. But I want you to understand something. The next time that happened, take your break. Say, time out. Holy Spirit, help me to understand what's going on and help me and assist me how to get through this without grumbling and complaining. Because, you know, it's not good to grumble and complain. It does something to your psyche to grumble and complain. And a lot of times we think, well, you know, hey, that's just the way it is. No, that ain't just the way it is. You are a believer. And do you not know Jesus expects you to act like a believer? He don't sit back and say, well, I just wish they would. No, he expects us to act like his brothers and sisters. He said, now I told you to take my yoke and learn of me. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Now, when we begin to learn of him, there is a rest when we come to him and get born again. There is a peace that we have with him that we didn't have. But then he went a little further and said, but you will find rest for your soul. My mind, my will, and my emotions. And Peter said, you know, that we purify our souls through obedience. When we obey God, God is doing a work on the soul. Because we are not being led by our emotions. Now, our emotions, how many know, is given to us to help us. Because our emotions help us when we go through experience. We feel it. And there's nothing wrong with that. But how many know we're not to be governed by that feeling? But we got to get to the place to understand that God is concerned about the whole me. He's concerned about wounds. He's concerned about my soul. He's concerned about my mind. He's concerned about my emotions. Do you not know that you can practice your senses so unto righteousness to where that your senses become so keen to where God can speak through your senses? You said, but you just said they shouldn't govern me. I did. I didn't say. God said your senses would govern you or your emotions would govern you. But what I am saying is this. God gave you those emotions. God gave you that soul so that you could be a whole person. With the spirit, we contact God. But with these emotions, how many know we feel and we sense things? Amen? With these senses that God gives us. But how many know that we don't need to be just sense knowledge people? And the body is what houses this. This is why we can live in the earth and feel the effects just like a sinner that hadn't accepted Christ because we're in the midst of it. But the difference comes when we look on the inside and we see the sufficiency of God on the inside of us. He's not somewhere on a throne in heaven. He's in me. The Holy Spirit of God resides on the inside of me. And guess what? Just because I go through some kind of ordeal, he doesn't pack up and leave. He said, John, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I'm with you in this. I can rest knowing that he's with me. Proverbs says, trust in the Lord and lean not to your own understanding. In some of your ways, acknowledge me. And I will direct your paths. Amen? What? Who said no? Who said that? Who said it? One right there. 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 Is it the only ones that said it? Oh, what? Oh, the pastor. Ooh. The pastor. You know what you just did? You test the word that I said. And it's so simple. That's the way we need to do all the time. When thoughts come to our mind or we hear something, the word says this, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. And lean not to thy own understanding. Lean not to your own. Lean not to your own. Lean not to your own. But in all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. Do you not know what he's saying there? I won't only guide you, but I will lead you around the obstacles. I will show you how to navigate through this old world, this old fallen, corrupt world. I'll show you how to navigate through it when you acknowledge him. Amen? So let's don't be like the Israelites with an unbelief and grumbling and complaining. Well, God, you ain't did this. You ain't did that. Have he did anything? Well, yeah, he did do some stuff for me. Well, be thankful in the some stuff. Listen, I'm circling home base. I know that don't mean a lot to y'all, but I'm coming in with it. The Bible said, what has Abraham found as pertaining to the flesh? Now, we know Abraham was justified by God. He believed God. And God credited it to Abraham for righteousness. See, Abraham didn't waver with God. When God said something, Abraham believed it. But what Abraham found was this. Listen at me closely. What Abraham found was a God that he could trust. Amen. He found a God that he could trust. He tried to lie about his wife. And God said, Abraham, did I not tell you I'm going to bless you, and whoever bless you, I bless them. Whoever curse you, yeah, God, but, you know, ooh, that situation. You know, Sarah was a good-looking woman, so I couldn't dare tell them that that was my wife because they would have killed me so that they could have her. But Abraham learned that he could trust God because God would always vindicate Abraham. You said, but he lied. How many know we lie too sometimes? Ah, y'all. John lies sometimes, but God straightened me out. God don't say, oh, you lied, so forget you. No, God keep working on us. He brings us to repentance. And we begin to do what? Trust him more. Why? Because when we begin to see the character of God instead of all these miracles, and how many know I love miracles? I'm not disputing miracles, but when we begin to learn the character of God, we can say, I can trust him. Even though I don't hear his word, I know his character is this. John, I won't leave you. Have you ever had a best friend that stuck with you through mud and clay? I don't care what you did. I mean, you could do something wrong. You can even go start the fight. And they'll say, hey, you know I got your back. And y'all got any friends like that? I had one like that. I don't care what, I mean, some stuff I just start because I was just a sinner. And I do stuff, Sister Martha, and boys, I thought I was big, but some boys was bigger than I was, you know. And I'm out there, you know, talking junk, you know. But when I know my friend was with me, it gave me a boldness. You know why? Because he would always, he said, I don't know how he did this, but he would either have a knife, a gun, brass knuckles, I mean, nunchucks. I mean, he'd have it all. He had one of them everywhere we went. I was thinking about this the other day. I said, you know, that joker had my back for real. Because one time we was at the fair, and these guys, these older men was, you know how they used to, guys bully young guys. They was bullying me, you know, and I knew that he was with me, you know, and I said, yeah. I said, you think I'm young, old man. I said, go ahead and try me. Go ahead. And he step up and he bumped me on the hip and he said, yeah. He said, pull his little shirt back. And there goes some brass knuckles stuck right there. He getting ready to ease them out, slide them on. I said, yeah, we got this. Now, that's indicating a little bit of violence. But anyway, I could rest when I know he was around. You know why? Because he had my back. But there is somebody greater than he is that's got our back. Let me say this. He don't have your back. He's got your front all around you. And there's nowhere where you can go apart from his presence. David said, I can make my bed in hell and he'll be there. I can take the wings and fly to yonder and he'll be there. There's no escape in the presence of God. And guess what? Don't let this world squeeze you into its mold. Don't let this world intimidate you to think that God is forsaking you. God is not forsaking you. He is with you. You can trust him. You can trust his character. If his word said, guess what? He's going to do it. All you got to do is say, yes, Lord. I believe. I believe, Lord. I believe your word. And I'm just going to rest. I'm just going to rest. Now, rest don't mean that you cease to exist. Rest don't mean that you sit down and do nothing. Amen. It just means on the inside of you, you know that you know that you know that God is with you. God is for you. And if God be for you, who can be against you? Right. You know he's with you. Amen? Amen. I'm coming in now, brother. How many of you can say that he's with me? He's with me. He's with me. And let me tell you something. All he wants you to do is just trust him. Just trust him and obey. You know, it's one thing to have faith when you're on the mountaintop, but it's another thing to have it when you're in the valley. Because see, how many know the lilies grow in the valley? And what you got to understand is that he's the God, not on the mountaintop, but he's the God in the valley also. Do you not know that there's nowhere you can go to get from his presence? He's there with you. He's going to take all those things that seem like negativity to you and bring positive things out of them. He's that kind of God. Amen? Amen. Say amen. Amen. All right. Trust you got something out of the word today. But I'm telling you, there's a lot going on in our world, but how many know he's the answer? We can look to him. Don't fret because of evildoers. Trust the Lord. Amen? Wait patiently on him and be of good courage. Amen? Before you leave, is there anyone here that does not know Jesus Christ? You hadn't accepted him as your personal Savior. Let me tell you something. This will not work if you're not born again. Now, I'm not trying to be ugly, not trying to be bad, but you just spinning your wheels if you think that because, and really, if you're not born again, you're not in covenant with him. You're still in that kingdom of darkness. But he want to pull you out of that kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son so that you can have the same benefits as the rest of the children. Amen? So if you don't know him, you say, well, you know, I'm a good person. How many know it's not based on goodness? Well, you know, my mom and my dad were Christians. What about you? But if you don't know him, I would love to introduce you to him. Amen? If that's anybody in here, we don't want to leave saying, well, we didn't give you the opportunity. We want to give you the opportunity to get to know him. Because if you don't know him, what I just shared is gonna be dull to you. Amen. Praise the Lord. God bless you, my brother. Yeah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. God bless you, brother. I tell you, God is good. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. This is Elder Doug Logan. I'm gonna let him talk to you, and we're gonna go over here. Okay. So no one else. Amen. We're going to let Elder Doug minister to him. But how many believers in here this morning know that you're born again? Know that you're born again. Let me tell you something. Get in that word. Let me tell you something. We're living, how many know it is a fear? See, the Bible said that a lot of men's hearts are going to fail them because of the fear. But how many know the church don't, their hearts are not going to fail them? You know why? Because we know what's going on. We know it's spiritual warfare. We know that it's the device of the enemy. But how many know that we're not going to defeat the enemy by getting on his own turf? We got to begin to do this through the love of God and begin to quit pointing fingers and begin to love each other and let that love flow from every one of us to where the world begin to see that there are people that love God and there are people that are concerned about the righteousness and justice that need to be done in this earth. How many know that's what the world is looking for? And you are the ones and I am the ones that can do this. So as you leave today, if you will stand to your feet, please. Thank you, Lord. I want to bless you as you leave today.
Didn't he do a great job unfolding the word? It's just awesome.
Bless you.
I'm gonna say this just to leave something with you that's attached to what he just said. Part of the word complain. Everybody say complain. Part of the word complain is in the Greek is invite to stay. So whatever you see that you need to complain about, when you complain about it, you're just saying, just stay a while. I don't like it, but just stay a while. Just come on in and stay a while. So if you want it to go, we're going to have to cease complaining. Mm-hmm. Complaining and murmuring kept them out there for 40 years.
Man.
So let's just say no more complaining.
No more complaints.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor. Amen. I just want to bless you today as we leave today. Moses did this in the book of Numbers, verse 16 and verse 24. He said, "The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you. Be gracious. The Lord be gracious to you, and the Lord lift his countenance upon you and give you peace. So they shall put my name on the children of Israel, and I will bless them." Father, we bless your people today, Lord. God, we thank you for your divine protection. God, we thank you, Lord God, that we refuse to grumble and complain, Father. Because, Lord, we don't want it to stay around to hinder what you want to do. So, Father, we bless your people in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to the Father's Vineyard podcast. If you'd like more information about Father's Vineyard, please visit us 24/7 at www.fathersvineyard.org, or you can call the office at 828-287-2868. Thanks again.